Sangha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Dharariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Namaiva Kevalam Kalau Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. May Krishna bless you and protect you. For those of you on the internet, which we have 9 devotees, we are here live from Kundan Loka, located in Placentia, California, in the United States of America. We welcome you online, and we welcome those present here. Tonight we're doing a special class. Prabhupada comes to America because on Thursday of this week was the commemoration of Prabhupada coming to America. So please listen to this wonderful narration. As the day of his departure approached, Bhaktivedanta Swami took stock of his meager possessions. He had only a suitcase, an umbrella, and a supply of dry cereal. He did not know what he would find to eat in America. Perhaps there would be only meat. If so, he was prepared to live on boiled potatoes and cereal. His main baggage, several trunks of his books, was being handled separately by Scindia Cargo. 203-volume sets. The very thought of these books gave him confidence. When the day came for him to leave, he needed that confidence. He was making a momentous break with his previous life, and he was dangerously old and not in strong health. And he was going to an unknown and probably unwelcoming country. To be poor and unknown in India was one thing. Even in these days of Kali Yuga, when India's leaders were rejecting Vedic culture and imitating the West, it was still India. It still had the remains of Vedic civilization. He had been able to see millionaires, governors, the prime minister, simply by showing up at their doors and waiting. In India, a sannyasi was respected. The Srimad Bhagavatam was respected. But America would be different. He would be no one, a foreigner. And there was no tradition of sadhus, no temples, no free ashrams. But when he thought of the books he was bringing, transcendental knowledge in English, he became confident. When he would meet someone in America, he would give him a flyer, Srimad Bhagavatam, India's message of peace and goodwill. It was August 13th, just a few days before Janmashtami, the appearance day, anniversary of Lord Krishna. The next day would be his own 69th birthday. During these last years, he had been in Vrindavan for Janmashtami. Many Vrindavan residents would never leave Vrindavan. They were old and at peace in Vrindavan. Bhaktivedanta Swami was also concerned that he might die away from Vrindavan. That was why all the Vaishnava sadhus and widows had taken vows not to leave, even for Mathura, because to die in Vrindavan was the perfection of life. And the Hindu tradition was that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean and go to the land of the Malechas. But beyond all that was the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And his desire was none different from that of Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra would be known in every town and village of the world. Bhaktivedanta Swami took a taxi down to the Calcutta port. A few friends and admirers, along with his son Vrindavan, accompanied him. Prabhupada wrote in his diary, "Today at 9 a.m., embarked on MV Jaladuta, came with me Bhagwati, the Dwaran of Sindhya, Sangseer, Mr. Sain Gupta, Mr. Ali, and Vrindavan." Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Swami was carrying a Bengali copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he intended to read during the crossing. Somehow, he would be able to cook on board, or if not, he could starve, whatever Krishna desired. He checked his essentials, passenger ticket, passport, visa, P-form, sponsor's address. Finally, it was happening. Prabhupada once commented on this episode. So here's what Prabhupada later on commented. "With what great difficulty I got out of the country. Some way or other, by Krishna's grace, I got out so I could spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Otherwise, to remain in India, it was not possible. I wanted to start a movement in India, but I was not at all encouraged." The black cargo ship, small and weathered, was moored at dockside, a gangway leading from the dock to the ship's deck. Indian merchant sailors curiously eyed the elderly saffron-dressed sadhu as he spoke last words to his companions and then left them and walked determinedly toward the boat. For thousands of years, Krishna Bhakti had been known only in India, not outside, except in twisted, faithless reports by foreigners. And the only swamis to have reached America had been non-devotees, Mayavadi impersonalists. But now, Krishna was sending Bhaktivedanta Swami as his emissary. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So now we have 16 devotees online, Krishna Kumar. Kundan Loka is very popular. All right, let's continue with this reading. The Jaladuta is a regular cargo carrier of the Sindhya Steam Navigation Company. but there is a passenger cabin aboard. During the voyage from Calcutta to New York in August and September of 1965, the cabin was occupied by Sri Abhoy Charanara Bhaktivedanta Swami, whose age was listed as 69 and who was taken on board bearing a complimentary ticket with food. The Jaladuta, under the command of Captain Arun Pandya, whose wife was also aboard, left at 9 a.m. on Friday, August 13th. In his diary, Srila Prabhupada noted, "The cabin is quite comfortable, thanks to Lord Sri Krishna for enlightening Sumati Muraji for all these arrangements," because she was the one that was in charge of that Scindia steam line. And Prabhupada had to convince her more than once, because she said to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, if I let you go, you're going to die there. It'll be on my head." She was a Gujarati lady, Sumati Muraji. But Prabhupada said, "I'm not going to die. Come on, give me the ticket." So Prabhupada would go, and eventually she gave in, because Prabhupada was very persistent and determined. But on the 14th, that's the next day, on the 14th he reported seasickness, dizziness, vomiting, Bay of Bengal, heavy rains, more sickness. On the 19th, when the ship arrived at Colombo, Ceylon, now known as Sri Lanka, Prabhupada was able to get relief from his seasickness. The captain took him ashore, and he traveled around Colombo by car. Then the ship went on toward Cochin on the west coast of India. Janmashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, fell on the 20th of August that year. Prabhupada took the opportunity to speak to the crew about the philosophy of Lord Krishna, and he distributed prasadam he had cooked himself. So you see, no matter what Prabhupada preaches, no matter what the situation, he preaches. August 21st was his 70th birthday, observed without ceremony at sea. That same day, the ship arrived at Cochin, and Prabhupada's trunks of Srimad Bhagavatam volumes, which had been shipped from Bombay, were loaded on board. By the 23rd, the ship had put out to the Red Sea, where Srila Prabhupada encountered great difficulty. He noted in his diary, "Rain, seasickness, dizziness, headache, no appetite, vomiting." These symptoms persisted, but it was more than seasickness. The pains in his chest made him think he would die at any moment. Within 2 days, he suffered 2 heart attacks. He tolerated the difficulty, meditating on the purpose of his mission. But after 2 days of such violent attacks, he thought that if another were to come, he would certainly not survive. On the night of the second day, Prabhupada had a dream. Lord Krishna, in his many forms, was rowing a boat, and he told Prabhupada he should not fear, but should come along. Prabhupada felt assured of Lord Krishna's protection, and the violent attacks never reoccurred. The Jaladuta entered the Suez Canal on September 1st and stopped in Port Said on the 2nd. Prabhupada visited the city with the captain and said he liked it. By the 6th, he had recovered a little from his illness and was eating regularly again for the first time in 2 weeks, having cooked his own khichdi and puris. After two heart attacks. He reported in his diary that his strength renewed little by little. And this is what he wrote in his diary on Thursday, September 9th. 2:04 this afternoon, we have crossed over the Atlantic Ocean for 24 hours. The whole day was clear and almost smooth. I am taking my food regularly, and I have got some strength to struggle. There is also a slight tacking of the ship, and I am feeling a slight headache also. But I am struggling, and the nectarine of life is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the source of all my vitality. And I personally, during the years when I was working a regular job, during the years of 1986 to 94, I was working a regular job, and I also would find great comfort and solace by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And for that period of time, those years, that was the book that I read. It was my favorite book. On Friday, September 10th, Prabhupada wrote in his diary, "Today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel today better. But I am feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my lords Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar. The only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I am tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I have left Bharata Bhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I have taken up the task just to carry out the order of His Divine Grace. I depend fully on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan." During the voyage, Prabhupada sometimes stood on deck at the ship's rail, watching the ocean and the sky, and thinking of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrindavan Dham, and the order of his spiritual master to go preach in the West. Mrs. Pandya, the captain's wife, whom Prabhupada considered to be an intelligent and learned lady, foretold Prabhupada's future. "If he were to pass beyond this crisis in his health," she said, "it would indicate the goodwill of Lord Krishna." The ocean voyage of 1965 was a calm one for the Jaladuta. The captain said that never in his entire career had he seen such a calm Atlantic crossing. Prabhupada replied that the calmness was Lord Krishna's mercy. And Mrs. Pandya asked Prabhupada to come back with them so that they might have another such crossing. Prabhupada wrote in his diary, "If the Atlantic would have shown its usual face, perhaps I would have died. But it seems Lord Krishna has taken charge of the ship." On September 13th, Prabhupada noted in his diary, 32nd day of journey, cooked bhati khichdi. It appeared to be delicious, so I was able to take some food. Today, I have disclosed my mind to my companion, Lord Shri Krishna. And there is a poem made by me in this connection. This poem was a prayer to Lord Krishna, and it is filled with Prabhupada's devotional confidence in the mission that he had undertaken on behalf of his spiritual master. An English translation of the opening stanzas follows. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. He is the great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By the strong desire of Bhakti Siddhanta, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The poem continues. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. And when all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, then the Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy, so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. That's just the beginning. Then here's the ending. Today, that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no means of success. In the same straightforward, factual manner in which he had noted the date, the weather, and his state of health, he now described his helpless dependent on his companion, Lord Krishna, and his absorption in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. He described the relationship between the spiritual master and disciple, and he praised his own spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, by whose strong desire the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. He plainly stated that his spiritual master had ordered him to accomplish this mission of worldwide Krishna consciousness, and feeling unworthy, he prayed to Lord Krishna for strength. The last verses give an unexpected, confidential glimpse into Prabhupada's direct relationship with Lord Krishna. Prabhupada called on Krishna as his dear friend and longed for the joy of again wandering the fields of Vraja. This memory of Krishna, he wrote, came because of a great desire to serve the Lord. Externally, Srila Prabhupada was experiencing great inconvenience. He had been aboard ship for a month and had suffered heart attacks and repeated seasickness. Moreover, even if he were to recover from these difficulties, his arrival in America would undoubtedly bring many more difficulties. But remembering the desire of his spiritual master and taking strength from his reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita, revealing his mind in his prayer to Lord Krishna, Prabhupada remained confident. And that's one of the six symptoms of Sharanagati, or surrender, that you have complete confidence and faith in the mercy of the Lord, and you don't have any other shelter other than the Lord. After a 35-day journey from Calcutta, Jaladutta reached Boston's Commonwealth Pier at 5:30 a.m. on September 17, 1965. That is the greatest day in American history, in my opinion. In my opinion. Not Independence Day. Among the first things Prabhupada saw in America were the letters A and P painted on a pier front warehouse. A and P is like Ralph's. Grocery store, big, like Ralph's. Yeah, when I lived, my mother would go to A&P. You used to go in Hawaii? Okay. The gray waterfront dawn revealed the ships in the harbor, a conglomeration of lobster stands and drab buildings, and rising in the distance, the Boston skyline. Prabhupada had to pass through U.S. Immigration and Customs in Boston. His visa allowed him a 3-month stay, and an official stamped it to indicate his expected date of departure. Captain Pandya invited Prabhupada to take a walk into Boston, where the captain intended to do some shopping. They walked across a footbridge into a busy commercial area with old churches, warehouses, office building, bars, tawdry bookshops, nightclubs, and restaurants. Prabhupada briefly observed the city, but the most significant thing about his short stay in Boston, aside from the fact that he had now set foot in America, was that at Commonwealth Pier, he wrote another Bengali poem entitled Makine Bhagavat Dharma, Teaching Krishna Consciousness in America. Some of the verses he wrote on board the ship that day are as follows. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. All right, so let's see the excerpts. Yes, sir. Jai. Jai. Following in the footsteps. So here's some of the poem. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev, Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America, dated 18th September, 1965. He was now in America. He was in a major American city rich with billions, populated with millions, and determined to stay the way it was. Prabhupada saw Boston from the viewpoint of a pure devotee of Krishna. He saw the hellish city life, people dedicated to the illusion of material happiness. All his dedication and training moved him to give these people the transcendental knowledge and saving grace of Krishna consciousness. Yet, he was feeling weak, lowly, and unable to help them on his own. He was but an insignificant beggar with no money. He had barely survived the two heart attacks at sea. He spoke a different language. He dressed strangely. Yet, he had come to tell people to give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling, and to teach them to worship Lord Krishna, who to them was a mythical Hindu god. What would he be able to accomplish? Helplessly, he spoke his heart directly to God. I wish that you may deliver them. I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. And for convincing them, he would trust in the power of God's holy name and in Srimad Bhagavatam. This transcendental sound would clean away desire for material enjoyment from their hearts and awaken loving service to Krishna. On the streets of Boston, Prabhupada was aware of the power of ignorance and the passion that dominated the city. But he had faith in the transcendental process. He was tiny, but God was infinite, and God was Krishna, his dear friend. On the 19th of September, the Jaladuta sailed into New York Harbor and docked at Brooklyn Pier at 17th Street. Prabhupada saw the awesome Manhattan skyline, the Empire State Building, and like millions of visitors and immigrants in the past, the Statue of Liberty. Prabhupada was dressed appropriately for a resident of Vrindavan. He wore kanti mala, neck beads, and a simple cotton dhoti, and he carried japamala, chanting beads, and an old chador, or shawl. His complexion was golden, his head shaven, shikha in the back, his forehead decorated with the whitest Vaishnava tilak. He wore pointed white rubber slippers, not uncommon for sadhus in India. But who in New York had ever seen or dreamed of anyone appearing like this Vaishnava? He was possibly the first Vaishnava sannyasi to arrive in New York with uncompromised appearance. Of course, New Yorkers have an expertise in not giving much attention to any kind of strange new arrival. Yes, because New Yorkers, they think, we've seen it all. We're New Yorkers. The sun sets and revolves around us. Prabhupada was on his own. He had a sponsor, Mr. Agarwal. Yes. Somewhere in Pennsylvania. Surely someone would be here to greet him. Although he had little idea of what to do As he walked off the ship onto the pier, Prabhupada once said, I did not know whether to turn left or right. He passed through the dockside formalities and was met by a representative from Traveler's Aid sent by the Agarwals in Pennsylvania. That's thoughtful. They offered to take him to the Scindia ticket office in Manhattan to book his return passage to India. At the Scindia office, Prabhupada spoke with the ticket agent, Joseph Forster, who was impressed by this unusual passenger's Vaishnava appearance, his light luggage, and his apparent poverty. He regarded Prabhupada as a priest. Most of Scindia's passengers were businessmen or families, so Mr. Forrester had never seen a passenger wearing the traditional Vaishnava dress of India. He found Prabhupada to be a pleasant gentleman who spoke of the nice accommodations and treatment he had received aboard the Jaladuta. Prabhupada asked Mr. Forrester to hold space for him on a return ship to India. His plans were to leave in about 2 months, and he told Mr. Forrester that he would keep in touch. Carrying only 40 rupees cash, which he himself called a few hours spending in New York, and an additional $20 he had collected from selling 3 volumes of the Bhagavatam to Captain Pandya, Srila Prabhupada, with umbrella and suitcase in hand, and still escorted by the Traveler's Aid representative, set out for the Port Authority bus terminal to arrange for his trip to Butler, Pennsylvania. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.